Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 9 this morning. Daniel chapter 9. I'm going to not be so heavy on you this morning. I was just kind of just prayed about it, thinking about the message this morning, and thinking about getting down the road. We got about a 6 hour drive, 6.5 hour drive, something like that, once we get out of here. And I don't want to take anything away from the Lord at all. And if God's going to have me move and God's going to have me preach something, then I'm going to preach it. But also I want to be honoring the time and the schedule kind of that we have to stick to because of the way they do things down there. And I'll just say this. What a shame it is. Back years ago when this church would go to camp, it was about a 3.5 hour drive down Highway 44. And we can't go to that camp anymore. Everything's changed. And there's just some things that we just can't go along with anymore as a church. And so we actually drive by the old camp we used to go to and drive all the way down to Green Forest, Arkansas. And I mean, if you find nowhere, that's the center of it. Okay? I mean, it's up on a mountain in the Ozarks of Arkansas. And I like it out there. It's nice and quiet. And it's a place where all these young people, they're going to get away from their computers and their phones and their tablets and their iPods and the social media and everything. Listen, if anybody in this church finds any of our children on Facebook or whatever while they're at camp, you let me know. Because they're going to be in big trouble. Okay? They're supposed to put all that down and just spend a week letting God deal with them. Well, that'd be good for some of us, wouldn't it? Put all that stuff down and let God deal with us for about a week. All right, so y'all just pray for us. We have a good time and pray for the preacher who's preaching this week. I don't know him, but just pray and lift him up and just pray for me this week. All right, Daniel chapter 9. I'm going to, like I say, we're just going to read some things and we're going to study some good things, that some fun things. I like it. I like doing stuff like this. All right, Daniel chapter 9, let's pick it up in verse 1. You can read that on the screen, can't you? That means open your Bible up. Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I want you to think about this now. Why did it have to be 70 years? Why did it have to be 70 years? Why couldn't it be 40 years, 20 years, 53 years, 71 years? Why did God specifically say that it had to be 70 years? Did you know that God always has a reason for doing everything that he does? And if you'll study his word, a lot of times you'll find that reason out. Verse 3, so I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplicate, the Lord God. Let me read that again. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from the precepts or thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belong unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. How many of you believe God's full of mercy and forgiveness? Say amen. And let me ask you a question today. Has God forgiven you? Has God forgiven you? There's things in your life that maybe you have brought into this church house this morning. And let me tell you something, you don't have to leave with them. This is the place that you can leave them at the foot of the cross. God can take every sorry, rotten, nasty, low-down thing that you've done because you're a sorry, rotten, low-down, nasty person. Leave them at the cross, amen. God will have mercy on you if you'll ask him. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake unto us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and hath gotten thee renown as it is this day, we have sinned and have done wickedly. Let me stop right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll just preach the message. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me preach today. Lord, again, my mind is racing. I pray, Lord, that you'd just get me settled. Lord, let me be a blessing to these people. Let me be a blessing to those that are watching and listening online, those that are listening to this sermon later on the internet. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just draw us into your word and show us, Father, your ways and your will. Show us how you work, God. Show us the marvelous plan that you have for our life. Give us comfort. Give us guidance, dear God. Give us, Lord, help us to get it settled, Lord, that though we may be in a place, Lord, maybe we're in a barren wilderness. Maybe, Lord, there's some people listening today, God, that's not right with you, Lord. Maybe they're just kind of backslid. Maybe, Lord, they're just out in the wilderness of sin. And they've called upon you and they're wondering, dear God, when you're going to do what they've asked you to do. Father, help us to realize, God, that everything with you is about your time and about your way. Teach us your ways. Give us understanding, Lord, of how long things are, how long things have to be. Father, Lord, just teach us your ways and your words today, we ask, Father. We ask your blessings. Lord, help me to preach today. I pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, toward the end of this, in Daniel chapter 9, we find the angel, I think it was Angel Gabriel. He comes down, and we have that whole story there, and he's going to give the deliverance of the message to it. But I brought this up a few weeks ago when I was preaching this. A lot of times we'll do something, we'll get cold on God, we'll kind of transgress a little bit. God's word's always going to kick into us. Now, remember, who Daniel is praying for is not the heathen. He's not praying for the lost people out there. He's praying Israel and Jerusalem and Judah are a representation of, let's say, the church in general, or churches, or let's say this church. And we have Daniel praying for the sins and the transgressions of this church. We're not talking about how God took Israel and wiped them off the face of the earth and sent them all to hell. That's not what God did. Because of their sins and their transgressions, God took them out of the land that he had given them and he put them in bondage. But that bondage was never intended to last forever. So we're not talking about God's wrath poured out, because let me tell you something. Wrath is poured out forever. You need to understand the difference. When God pours out his wrath, he means to obliterate, he means to destroy, he means to send everlasting judgment to people. What was it that God poured out to Sodom and Gomorrah? Was it his judgment? Was it his chastening? Or is it his wrath? It says wrath. Sodom no longer exists on this earth anywhere and never will. And something you need to keep in mind is that if you die and go to hell, you're there. You're not getting out. You won't be able to plead with God. You won't be able to scream loud enough to God to get his attention. So he'll let you back out of hell. When you make the decision that you're not going to give in to God, that you're not going to follow him, you have chosen the lake of fire for all of eternity and you're going to stay there. You need to remember that. But in this case here, God was not giving wrath to his people. He was giving them judgment unto repentance. And it was for a time appointed. And it's something to keep in mind. There's been times, my mom's sitting back here, there was times when she'd get after me and just tear me up. And I'd be sorry. And then after that, I'm wanting everything to be normal. Well, I couldn't understand why I'm over the whipping. She's still mad at me. Couldn't figure that out till I started having children. It takes them a lot less time to get over the whipping than for us to get over being mad to give them the whipping. Found that out. And so I want you to think of God in this situation. God has taken Israel, taken Judah and Jerusalem out of that area, put them in Babylonian captivity, and he has appointed 70 years over them. 70 years. Daniel, reading the book of Jeremiah, seeing that God has appointed 70 years over them, Daniel decides that he's going to pray. Now the 70 years have not been expired. They're not up yet. But Daniel is going to pray anyway. He's going to pray. He's going to ask God for forgiveness for Daniel, number one. He's going to ask God for forgiveness for his fathers. He's going to ask God's forgiveness for all the people of Israel, all the Jews. He wants God to forgive them. He's repenting. And God heard his prayer. But at no time did God ever say, well, I know I said 70 years, but if you pray, I might cut it back a few years. I don't know. We'll just kind of have to see how that goes. You listen to me. Just because you repented, just because you confessed sins, just because you were sorry to God, that does not mean that God is just going to go against his own word. Because if God said 70 years, God meant 70 years. It's like a prison sentence. If a judge gives a man 30 years, doesn't give him life, doesn't execute him, gives him 30 years in prison. Let's say it only takes 10 years in prison for this young man to get his mind straight, and if they were to let him out right then, he's not going to hurt anybody, but he's been given 30 years without parole. The courts don't just look at him and say, well, I think he's okay, we can turn him loose. Who's going to do the next 20 years for that guy? The law has to be fulfilled, and God's word cannot be denied. It must be fulfilled. So while you may be in a situation in life where you truly are sorry for the sins of your past, there is still probably going to be a time appointed in your life where you are going to have to suffer as a result of those sins. Does that make sense to everybody? You may be in a situation right now to where you're saying, you know what, I am better. I'm not going to go back to those old ways. There's no way I'm going to do that. And yet God has already told you, or God has showed you what he's going to do in your life, and he's not going to stop doing it just because you were sorry one day. I've said this before. It's like me trying to tell my mom how sorry I am before the whipping. I still get the whipping. She's glad that I'm sorry, but I still get the whipping. And I'm glad she did that. She was showing me. She may not have even known it then, but she was showing me how God works. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, now, here's the other question. Very simple. Why did God say 70 years? Why did God say 70 years? Anybody want to take a guess? I don't do this very often, but anybody but Ian want to take it? Go ahead, Ian. Why 70 years? That's pretty good. God had told him, and I'm glad you said that. I hadn't thought about that. I don't have it in my notes. What were they supposed to do, Ian?
7 years. Farm the land.
Yeah.
They're supposed to just live off what grows on it.
Supposed to let that land what?
Rest.
American farmers came over here, and a lot of them had decided not to do God's way. I was watching a documentary about how farmers back long 70, 80 years ago, something like that, they were wearing out farms. They would go into a piece of land and they would farm it until all the nutrients were gone out of the ground and nothing would grow on it, and they'd have to give up that land and go find farmland somewhere else. And they said, one old guy said, yeah, I've wore out 4 farms in my life. You know why? He was not following the Bible. God said, let it rest every 7th year. Let the nutrients get back in the ground. Then plant another 6 years. But why 7 years? You ain't got an answer to that, do you?
Because the Lord rested on the 7th day when he created the heaven and the earth.
There you go. Okay, now that's where we're going. Why 7 years? Why 70 years? Why? Okay? Numbers mean something. By, I don't preach or teach numbers a lot here, but today I'm going to. We're just going to have a little fun today. And I'm going to teach you something, and then you just run this all through the... Anytime you see a 7 or 70 or 700 or 7,000, I don't know if it's 7,000 in the Bible, anytime you see that in a number, you're going to understand what this means, all right? So first thing I want you to do, take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Let's understand this. Let's understand. God actually tells you what this is all about, why God is doing this. I like this kind of stuff. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. This is going to be one of those sermons that when I'm done, you won't need counseling with it afterward. Because I won't be here for a week, all right? Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Watch this. This is just God's way. Do I understand all about God's way? No, but I understand that He works in a certain way. Always. You can always see the handiwork of God. Thus the heavens and the earth were, notice the word finished here. Finished. Completed. Done. We're getting an understanding of what this number means. Why 70 years? If it was 69 years, it wasn't finished yet. Because God said 70 years. This is why God cannot break this. Because of what it means. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work. There it is again. There's another clue. He finished and He ended His work which He had made. And then He rested on the seventh day. That's what Ian was getting at. God told him to let the land rest every 7 years. And because the Israelites did not do that, God put them out of the land and He said, I'm going to have my land get its Sabbaths back. All the Sabbath rest that you took away from my land, I'm going to let it get it back. That's what God said. So on the seventh day, He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. So verse 3, He said, and God blessed the seventh day. And all those words there, underlined, convey the meaning of the number 7. So number 1, it represents things that are finished. When God performed the 70 years... Let me just throw this at you. They want to bring in a law. Now, you may think you're in favor of this, but they want to bring in a law that certain offenders of the law, after they've served their sentence, the government wants to go back and put them in prison again for life because of the danger that they represent. Now, and I'm talking about like sexual predators and stuff like that. And while you may think that's a good idea, let me tell you, where would it stop? Because if the law says that if you commit this crime that you're in prison for 5 years, when you fulfill the 5 years, the courts and the law does not have the right then to go back and put you back in prison. I mean, we're dealing with the law here. So at the end of 70 years, can God just say to Israel, can He say to Judah, well, I told you 70 years, but you're still not where I want you. I'm going to keep you here longer. Can God do that? No! He said 70 years. Amen? You keep in mind, God keeping His word and His law benefits both God and man. Because God's not going to go against His own law. If God said 70 years, it's going to be 70 years. So He finishes it. Seventh day He ended it. He rested. Then verse 3, He blessed the seventh day and He sanctified it. What that means is been made holy. When you are blessed, by the way, blessing is a salvation word. You hear me say that all the time. Blessing is a salvation word. If you're saved, you're blessed. If you're lost, you're cursed. And then He said He sanctified it because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. So think about this 7 years. Now watch this. Think about what God does in your life. God, when He does a work, watch this now, He finishes the work. God does not leave anything in your life undone, something for you to do later. Somebody say amen. God does not forgive part of your sins, pay for part of your sins, and then tell you, you've got to pay for the rest of it. That's Roman Catholicism. That's not Bible Christianity. Oh, well, God paid for part of your sin, but you got to pay for the rest of it, Ed. You've got to say 25 Hail Marys. You've got to give $500 to the church. And I better see here the next four Sundays in a row, or you're not going to be forgiven of your sins. You've got to pay for part of your own sin. You know what? Now I won't get into that. Does that sound right to you? No. When Christ paid it, He paid it all. What was the last three words spoken on the cross? It's finished. It's done. Somebody say amen. So it's number one, it's finished. When God completed those 70 years, He said it's done. The work that God does in your life is going to be a complete work. And He's not going to stop until it's done. Somebody say amen. Hey, I've had those thoughts where I was afraid God was going to quit on me. I've had those thoughts. Have you? You ever had that thought where God was going to quit on you? God was going to give up on you? He's not. If He promised that He was going to do something, guess what He's going to do? And our hope and our confidence of us ever being in heaven is never on ourselves or on our own merits, on our own performance. It is our hope and our absolute confidence that what God said He'll do, He will do. You trust Him. So finished. God, on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. Now if God ends something, it's just like He finished it. If God ends it, that means that there is no more left to do. So let me put it to you this way. Why do we come to church? Are we coming to church to complete the work that God wants to do in our life? Is that why we come to church? Why do we pay tithes? It's so that we can finish the work and complete the work that God does in our life. Why would we go to Sunday school? Why do we read our Bible? Why do we pray? Why do we try to witness to people? Why do we try to talk to people about the Lord? Why do we live a decent, holy Christian life? Are we trying to finish what God has started in our life for Him as if there's something undone? No. When God finishes the work, it's done. There's nothing left for us to do. Usually, that's about the time I like to show up on a project. When there's nothing left to do. That's me. Okay? When it comes to God's work in your life, a lot of sermons preached in churches all over this world have a lot to do with what you can do for God and what you can do for your church and what you can do for your life and what you must do for your marriage and what you must do, you must do, you must do. But I'm here to tell you that if we would just stand back and let God do what He wants to do, it'd be better than what we did to begin with. Somebody say amen. God, listen, I don't mind serving God. I don't mind helping God. But God did not need my help when I showed up on the scene. Amen. He did not need my help. So He ended it. Then He rested. Watch this now. In your life. And believe it or not, I'm going to preach this whole message out of this one. You wouldn't believe how many verses I got to preach on. And they're good too. I ain't going to get to them. Okay? I'm just going to give you this and I'm going to scoot on down the road. All right? Watch this. So then He rested. Who in here is fighting battles this morning? Be honest. Raise your hand. Man. And you get tired, don't you? And you want to lay down and quit. God is the one, if you'll let Him, God is the one who'll give you rest. Did He make man for the Sabbath, or did He make Sabbath for the man? God made the Sabbath day for our benefit. Everything that we're doing down here, everything that we're toiling with, all the sins that we're fighting against, all the stupid stuff that comes into our life, all the stuff that creeps into our family, our relationships, all the stuff that comes at us in our church. We end up fighting battles and we get tired. God does not intend for us to fight the battle every single day. If you'll let God have it, God will give you a day of rest. Even you boys that has fought in the military, you weren't out on the front lines every single day for years on end. Every now and then they had to pull you guys back, set you aside, give you something decent to eat, give you a nice dry bed to sleep in, and say, you need some R&R. What does R&R stand for? Rest and relaxation. I can't even say it. Relaxation. And let me tell you something. Those of you who are struggling, those of you who are fighting, God will give you rest. God will, listen to me, that land in your life that doesn't grow anything ever again because it's all been worn out, because the Sabbaths weren't taken, God's going to make you sit back just long enough to let that land become fruitful again. And then He'll start doing in your life what He wants you to do. Nobody in my mind needs to hear that more than preachers need to hear it. Because what I think is that I have got to be serving God 100% every day, 90 miles an hour, all week long. And God shows me, Mike, you need a rest. Even Jesus took a rest. He wasn't at it nonstop all the time. Even He rested. Even God rested. And I promise you, if you'll let God have some of these battles, God will give you rest. And if you won't let Him have them, God will take His rest. It's going to rest one way or the other. You might as well give it to Him. Can I hear you say amen? Why the 70 years? Verse 3. God blessed the seventh day. I got stories in my mind about how God did this thing, and they all revolve around this number 7. I don't have time to do it this morning. But let me tell you something. God intended, He always intended after 70 years to bring Jerusalem back, to bring Israel back, the Jews back, put them in Jerusalem. Did God do that? Yes. When they got back, John, they found out they didn't have a temple anymore. Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed their house of worship. And they lamented. They saw the condition of Jerusalem. The walls had been battered down. Then they got in. The house of God had been destroyed. And they said, what are we going to do? And they cried unto God. And God heard them. And God issued them help and finances so that they were able to lay down the foundation of a temple once again. And you know what God told them? He said, the glory of this latter house is going to be greater than of the former house. Listen to me. That house that Solomon built was magnificent. The Queen of Sheba had heard about it and said, I don't believe it. And went and traveled and saw it with her own eyes. And she said, not only is this not what I was told, it's better than what I was told. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. And God told Israel, now that you're back in this land, I promise you that the glory of this latter house is going to be far greater than of the former house that you lost. Now you listen to me. You let God do what He's doing in your life. Let Him do it. And you don't understand. You think you're being punished. You think you're being kicked around by God. You think it's all your fault. The devil's just walking all over on top of you. And you've confessed and you've prayed and said, God, I can't take this anymore. God is telling you, let the time expire. Let me do what I want to do. I promise you, when I'm done, it'll be better than when we started this thing. In fact, I was going to preach a message this morning called Better. Because I'm telling you that everything that you let God do in your life is better than anything you've ever had. Better than anything you've ever asked for. God answers your prayers better than you prayed them. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, sister. You can turn that loose in here. Don't bother me a bit in the world. When God blesses something, I mean, think about it. When you were born the first time, everybody cheered. Oh, look at that cute little baby. When you were born the second time, the angels of heaven rejoiced. Isn't that better? Who in here has ever seen the Grand Canyon? I guarantee you, God's got something in glory that far outweighs the majesty of anything that you have ever seen on this earth. And I'm telling you that if you will wait on the Lord and trust Him and let Him finish His work and give you rest, I promise you it will be better than you've ever had it in your life. And then He sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. What does the word sanctify mean? Set apart, that's one. Huh? Make holy. When something is holy, it's clean. Now you listen to me. God is a clean God. Any place, historically, any place where Bible Christianity is allowed to thrive, those people are clean people. Our grandmothers used to get up early in the morning and go out and sweep things like a front porch. And if they lived in a neighborhood, they used to sweep the sidewalk all the way down to where it wasn't theirs anymore. Then they'd sweep everybody else's sidewalk. You know why? Because God put it in their heart, we're going to keep our place clean. To be sanctified means that God is going to work in your life, and He, through the water of His Word, is going to start washing some of the nasty, filthy junk out of your life. Who in here wants that? Be honest. Shoot. If we were to stand up and start telling everybody what had gone through our mind this last week, we'd be too embarrassed to do it. Amen? Especially if your mom's here. Or she might say, well, especially since my son's here and he's the preacher. We all had our day, Mom, didn't we? I want God to make me holy. I want God to make me clean. I want God to take stuff out of me that ain't right. I want God to put stuff in me that is right. And I've learned. Now you listen to me. And everybody listening online, you listen to me. Because I get people calling, asking help. People telling them they're not really saved. I had a guy call one time and he said, Pastor, he said, let me tell you what's going on in my life. He told me. And he said, I beg God every day, God, take this out of my life. God, get it out of me. God, I don't want it anymore. God, just clean me out. He said, people are telling me that I'm not saved. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, those times you ask God to do that in your life, I said, did you mean it? He said, yeah, but the people told me that obviously I didn't mean it because it's still there. I said, but did you mean it? Yeah. I said, you weren't lying to God? No. You asked God to take it away from you, right? He said, yeah. I said, then who's here to tell you that you have to take it away yourself? And he thought about that. I said, if you ask God to take it away, it is obvious that you couldn't have done it yourself. If you were to ask me to give up drinking Gold Peak tea, I wouldn't like it, but I guess I would. Because I can. If you were to ask me to give up, any number of commandments that we like to break, I couldn't promise you that I could. So don't ask me to change me. I've asked God to change me. And I've learned that in that process, I'm willing to be patient with God while He changes me. Amen? And if God's version of my patience is not the same as your version, then it's too bad for you. Because while Paul asked God to remove a thorn from his flesh three times, God gave him something better than removing the thorn. He gave him grace. And whatever that thorn was, God was going to have a sufficient amount of grace and mercy on Paul to cover it, to give Paul the ability to live with it. You want God to do what He wants to do in your life. It may take It took 70 years for God to do that in my dad. It may take 70 years. But God will do it. He did it for my dad. And He'll do it for you. Are you willing to wait for it? Because when He finally does it, once Daniel prayed that prayer, Daniel at no time asked God to shorten the amount of time. Daniel understood what 70 years was. So Daniel was willing to wait for it. Are you? Are you willing to wait? Let's stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads. I'm just going to let you have a word of prayer here. If God is dealing with you and you feel like you want to come down one of these mourner's benches, lay some things out before the Lord. Let God have them. God will take them. You want God to sanctify you. Sanctification, from what I can see in the Bible, is always a process. Could God have cleansed the land in less than 70 years? Yes. But with God, it's always a process, an appointed time. God kept His word. God kept His law. God will keep it with you too. At the end of that 70 years, that land was as fresh and new as the first day that Joshua walked onto it. That land was ready to grow again. That land was ready to break forth with new wine. And maybe there's just something in your life. Maybe you're just in that time of life right now where the 70 years is turning into too long. And you're finding it hard to wait. I promise you the sanctification that God's going to bring at the end of this will be worth it. I promise you it will. If you feel led, you want to come down and pray, you pray. We're going to pray this morning. Our Father in heaven, we come before You today. We thank You, dear God, for the message, Father, that You preached today. Thank You, Lord God, for the words that are in this book. Thank You, dear God, for what it means and what it says. Thank You, dear God, for the riches and the depth that this book has in it. This is our way of life. This is how we live. This is how we understand You. This is how we understand, Lord, our relationship to You. This is how we see life in the light of Your glorious gospel. And so, Father, we thank You for it. We thank You, dear God, for showing us some very, very deep things today. And, Father, we all, each one of us, yield over our lives to You. Whether you take it or not. Whether you have to take it, God. We just ask God, Lord, that You take that life. That You do, Lord, what it is that You do. And that the work be done and be finished. And God, we're asking that You would give us rest. God, we're asking that You would give us cleanliness in our hearts, sanctification in our souls, God. Father, that as each day rolls on, Father, one by one, piece by piece, Lord, You remove those things out of our lives that are offensive to You. And Father, replace them with those things that are pure righteousness and that glorify You. Father, make us more in Your image every single day. And Lord God, just give us patience to wait so that our life can be better than it ever was before. Bless your word today. Bless in the hearts and lives of these people. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed.